Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Saturday, November 24th. Yet again, bringing you another week of action around the NFL. Always previewing all the games. And then on Sunday night, now Monday morning, giving you a recap of all the games that happened over the weekend. So Monday's show is a little bit different. On Monday, I have my writers assist me now. You can hear their takeaways instead of just always hearing my stuff. My stuff's pretty damn good, but to me, it's exciting that I get to start to include these guys in the show. And the show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com. So Pigskin Nut is for those that are crazy about football, and it is an all-in-one hardcore football website that has individual team coverage of all 32 NFL teams, fantasy football coverage, as well as coverage of every major college football conference. And one of the things that we also have that will be a differentiator is a directory of scouting reports on both NFL and college players. If you are interested in an opportunity to be a volunteer writer with us, send a 2-3 paragraph article to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Make sure whatever you write about, it has good context. If you're going to say some points, make sure you back it up and just make sure it flows well, has good grammar, and then we can see about potentially getting you to be one of our writers. But we have had a lot of people that have sent us stuff. There's plenty of people that we have not approved, so definitely make sure that it hits home and it does a good job. So excited to bring you another week of action in Week 12. Let's start out first with my favorite team, the New York Giants. They're going to be playing the Philadelphia Eagles. And look, realistically looking at this game, I'm looking at the team that's the hotter team right now. The New York Giants, they've won two games in a row. Have they been against subpar NFL teams? Yeah, they have been. But they're still against NFL teams. It's not like they're playing a college team. But what the Giants have started to do well is their last two games, they've been protecting Eli Manning. Look, ever since they picked up Jamon Brown, the guard from the Los Angeles Rams, they actually got him because the Rams had to cut him because they picked up Dante Fowler. He's been a godsend for that offensive line. On top of that, their left tackle is playing better. Nate Solder, he started to play better as the year has gone on. So look, their offensive line has gotten much more of a push. It's allowed Saquon to do more. It certainly made Eli Manning a much better quarterback. I mean, he completed 95% of his passes last week. He was very good the week before. Look, Eli gets some time. He can still make the throws. He gets into bad habits because he's always getting pressured and getting out of sync. He is more susceptible to getting into bad habits than other quarterbacks when they face pressure. But if you keep him clean, he starts to find his rhythm. Things go well. Look, right now, the Giants have a dynamic running game, and the Eagles just don't. And I think that's been one of the issues that the Eagles were going to face this year, is that if they lost Jay Ajayi for any length of time, this team is going to struggle, and they have. Not saying that's the only reason why they've struggled. There's been other reasons, but looking at this game, the Eagles, they've had a banged up secondary. The Giants have Evan Engram back. They have all their weapons there. Saquon Barkley. The roster is healthy. They're getting protection. The only thing that I could see help making the Giants lose this game is really going to be how well does their offensive line hold up against Philadelphia's defensive line. Because maybe Philadelphia, they're not looked at as a top three defense, but they got some guys that can rush the passer on the defensive line. So we'll see what happens. But I do like the Giants in that one. And I don't really get to say that often, that I actually think the Giants will win. I did think that they would turn it around to a degree the second half of the season. And when I say turn it around, that's very freaking vague because they won one game the first half of the season. So if they win three, that's kind of turning it around. So moving on to the next game, the Jaguars taking on the Bills. Both of these teams are in somewhat similar situations or somewhat similar makeup there. Both of them have not been able to get their pass game going because Jacksonville, Blake Bortles hasn't played well. You look at Buffalo. They haven't had a consistent quarterback in there that's been able to do anything all year. Josh Allen is now coming back. I think ultimately, as much as I've criticized Josh Allen for being far from an NFL ready draft prospect, or a first round draft prospect, Allen's got a hell of an arm. He's almost got a Mahomes like arm. I mean, it's a cannon. However, the accuracy, the anticipation, there's other issues, other tools that are missing from his tool belt. But I think he's going to be able to make more plays than Blake Bortles. He can extend plays better. He's got a better throwing arm, and I mean, he's thrown caution to the wind, and he's had a little bit of success this year, not a whole lot, but you see him do good stuff at times. And you look at both teams. Both teams have stellar players on the defensive side of the ball. Jacksonville hasn't always put it together this year. I think Jacksonville could be in trouble because their offensive line is just not getting the protection. But ultimately, I think what's going to help Jacksonville win this game is having Leonard Fournette back. Look, despite the fact they blew a 16-point lead to Pittsburgh the other week, they got Leonard Fournette back now. He made a big difference in terms of the identity of that team in his first game back. So I think if anything, that's going to be the difference maker. If they can't get Leonard Fournette going, I think Buffalo's going to whoop him personally. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be either Leonard Fournette steals the show. If he doesn't, then this game's going to Buffalo. Seahawks at the Panthers. I've talked about this for a lot. Talked about this a lot this year. I think Pete Carroll, with a 5-5 record, he's really overachieved with this team. They don't have a ton of talent, it seems like, on paper. And really, I think the key for Seattle is to get their running game going. Look, when they've gotten their running game going, whether it's been with Rashad Penny or Chris Carson or whoever it might be, they've looked like a solid football team this year. What Seattle can do is they really can rush the passer better than people think. Guy talked about the other week, Frank Clark. Right now at the Scouting Academy, I just got finished evaluating Justin Coleman. He's a slot nickel corner for Seattle. But when I watched his tape, I kept noticing number 55, Frank Clark, jumping off the screen. He's a hell of a pass rusher. Seattle can rush the quarterback, but the thing is, can they? If they don't get a running game going, I think it's going to be a little bit tough for them. Doug Baldwin, I think you look at him the last few years, he's been a very underrated receiver. He's had some injury issues this year, hasn't always been healthy. Tyler Lockett has shown you some good stuff, but they're going to have to get a rushing attack going. I think if they can do that against the Carolina defense, they'll be successful. Carolina. It's a similar game plan. Number one, I think, it all starts with Cam Newton, but a lot of it starts with Christian McCaffrey. They can get him going, and they can use Cam on more play action passes. I think that's going to suit Carolina very well. This one's a toss up, but I like the edge going to Seattle. I like just fundamentally what they do a little bit better. I think they've gotten more out of their talent, but look, we'll see what happens. I think this one's a bit of a toss-up there, but my gut would tell me go with Seattle. But look, again, if Carolina can get Christian McCaffrey, Cam can get some play action going, they'll be in good shape. You know, the last time that a quarterback had 100 yards rushing two games in a row was back in the 1950s. I think that's going to happen again, or it could potentially happen again this week, when the Baltimore Ravens host the Oakland Raiders. Oakland is one of the worst open field tackling teams in the NFL. Lamar Jackson is the second start. He's going to be pretty tough to plan for. And last week Lamar Jackson, he ran the ball over 25 times, but you can't do that every single game. He's just not going to last that way. I think we all know that. However, it's his second game, and he's going against Oakland again. Not a very good open field tackling team. Ultimately, I think that's going to be the difference maker. They're not going to have a way to stop him, but I'm going to want to see Lamar Jackson still not rush the ball so many times and make some more throws from inside the pocket and even just get outside the pocket to see what he can do there. In college, he showed you he had a great arm. Definitely has had some issues reading defense, but I like everything I hear from this young man. When he was in the hospital with a stomach bug, and it would look like he wasn't going to start that game. You know, one of the reasons he was actually able to start is because of how well he prepared. He had his iPad with him. He said he looked at film from the time he went to sleep to the time he went to bed. All you know, the 2 or 3 days prior to that, while he was in the hospital sick. So, you know, just hearing his college interviews, I think he has a really good head on his shoulders. So, I get it. You know, he's had some accuracy issues in college, but I've talked about it before. I think a lot of his accuracy issues can be fixed because, most of the time, if you're not accurate, you're just not accurate. But I think his accuracy stems from playing with a narrow base. He's going to learn to widen that base. He's got good coaching up there in Baltimore. He'll be better. I see good things for him, and I do see that Baltimore is going to take this game from Oakland on Sunday. 49ers are traveling to Tampa Bay. I really like the Tampa Bay Bucs. I just got to say this. I mean, they can't suck in the red zone forever. At some point, they got to start scoring points. Despite all the crap that's gone on with Jameis Winston, I still believe he can be a good NFL quarterback. I still think he has a hell of an upside. I watched him enough in college not to say that because of what's happened in the NFL, he's going to be a bust. Look, he's played really good at times during his career. But look, Dirk Cutter, he ain't going to be the coach there next year. There's no doubt about it. This defense has been atrocious. And considering they got talent on the defensive line, shouldn't be that bad. And when you look at the quarterback situation, it's been a back and forth. Not really able to get either of these quarterbacks established. I think even if Tampa Bay plays well towards the end of the year, I still think that they're going to have a new coach next year. But I got to imagine that Tampa Bay, they're going to figure out a way to start scoring some points this week. You know, there's an interesting stat last week about how many yards they had, and I believe it was either more than either the Rams or the Chiefs or something like that. Don't quote me on it, but yeah, no, I mean, they got to start scoring at some point. I think what's hurt them is not having a legitimate running back. It's definitely been a huge issue for them. But you look at San Francisco, I believe offensively, schematically, coaching-wise, they are a much better team. You know, if you put Kyle Shanahan as Tampa Bay's offensive coordinator, they do a lot better. He dials up great plays. Kyle Shanahan, you know, look at what he's gotten out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, maybe you didn't see as much of that this year, but he got a crap ton out of him last year, although I think Jimmy G is really just a good quarterback. But if you look at C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins, look, those are not, you know, what you think of your typical NFL starting quarterbacks. And yeah, you know, he hasn't been able to win a number of games with them or anything like that, but he's gotten them to play better. And I really feel like, despite the 49ers record, Kyle Shanahan has done more at this offense than a lot of other coaches would. But ultimately, I just think Tampa Bay, they got too much firepower in that passing game. They're going to figure out a way to get it done this week. I like Tampa Bay coming out on top in this one. Battle of Ohio. The Cleveland Browns are traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Keys to this game, Cincinnati, the key for them is they have to rely on Joe Mixon. Without A.J. Green in there, it makes it a lot harder for Tyler Boyd to have the same kind of statistics as he's had recently. And they just don't really have a whole lot in terms of weapons outside of that. So they're going to have to get Joe Mixon going. This game is going to have to be through him, or I think they're going to struggle mightily. Not having A.J. Green in there really takes away the biggest dynamic that offense has. Cleveland, they've been playing better since they lost Todd Haley. If you remember, Todd Haley, the Browns offensive coordinator, when he was the coordinator back in Pittsburgh, although Pittsburgh's offense was good, they struggled for a while. And one of the things that they struggled with is Todd Haley has complex terminology. Now, I don't want to speculate, but it's very possible that complex terminology made it harder for the young rookie quarterback, Baker Mayfield. If you look at a quarterback, another supposed quarterback type coach or offensive coach, John Gruden, you look at him back when he was in Tampa Bay, he needed to have a Brad Johnson or more experienced quarterback to understand that complex terminology. I would imagine with Greg Williams taking over and someone else stepping in, they've started to really simplify things. They've been playing better. Right now, Cleveland, they got to get Jarvis Landry to step up. He's got a world of talent. I saw enough of that the past few years. I saw enough of that in preseason and the cut-ups in training camp. But, you know, he's had his struggles this year. He's had some injuries. He hasn't been playing healthy the whole year. But he has got to step up. And I think for Cleveland, their secret sauce really right now is getting Nick Chubb going. You do that, it gets everything else going, and they can win football games that way. They got a good young defensive end in Myles Garrett. They have up-and-coming players, Joe Sherbert, great middle linebacker, and they got starting to get some help on the back end too. So I really think that both teams, it's kind of a similar thing they need to look for. Both teams have got to get the run game going. Both teams have got to get a pass rush. That'll open up things for their quarterbacks. But I do like Cleveland in this one. I just think Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback, and they're playing the better brand of football right now. Next up, we got the Patriots taking on the Jets in New Jersey. I mean, what do you expect me to say about it? Yes, same tune, different year. I get it. Ultimately, what I think will help New England, because I mean, I don't think anyone is predicting the Jets to win. Is that a pretty safe assumption? I think New England, what they're going to look for, because you got to look at a couple of things. Number one, New England, they've had a bye week, so they've had more time to prepare. New England is very good after a bye week historically. I mean, they've been very good historically in any event, but they have more time to prepare for the Jets. I think, you know, matchups to watch out for is going to be James White going against the Jets linebackers. Because look, if they can get James White going, usually Tom Brady gets going. And if James White and Tom Brady get going, the Jets are not going to win this football game. Look, I'm not going to spend too much time on this one. I think we all know kind of, you know, where the Jets are this year. And you know, the Patriots are still the Patriots. They may not be the best team in the NFL this year, but they're still one of the best teams in the AFC. Looking at that one, I really think that James White's going to do a number on those linebackers. They're going to find mismatches like they always do, and that's how they're going to beat New York. Todd Bowles, tough situation to be in, because he hasn't had a very good roster, but the blame is definitely starting to go his way. So you know, we'll see what happens there. Next up, the Steelers travel to Denver to take on the Broncos. This one, to me, simply comes down to the pass rush. Both teams can get after the quarterback. We all know who Von Miller is. We know how disruptive he is. That's no secret. Bradley Chubb is really coming on strong. I said before the NFL draft started, way before it did, that I said I expect Bradley Chubb to get double-digit sacks his rookie year. Why? Because when you want to look at a guy that is NFL ready, he's as NFL ready as they get for a defensive lineman. Actually, you know, just looking at their college tape, although I thought Myles Garrett may have had a little bit of a higher upside, I definitely thought Bradley Chubb was more ready. He had a bigger variety of pass rush and counter moves, and the way you watched him get to the quarterback in college, it's really told me everything I needed to know. So you look at this game, it's certainly a match of the pass rush. You know, you got to give the edge to Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, but don't get it twisted. Pittsburgh can get after you as well. Cameron Hayward, they have other guys on the inside there that can cause pressure. T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree on the outside, that makes a big difference. You know, you look at T.J. Watt play, he has similarities to his brother J.J. You watch the way he splits the double team, it's eerily similar. I'm not going to say he's as disruptive, but it's you're definitely seeing some similarities in the way they play. And look, he's been a good pass rusher this year. Bud Dupree, a guy they drafted out of Kentucky a few years ago, a guy that I was very high on. But you know, same thing I'm saying about Marcus Davenport this year. He's gonna need a few years to develop into the monster that he's capable of developing into. And Bud Dupree has certainly been a much better pass rush force for him, you know, in recent memory. So look, I think both teams are going to be able to get after the quarterback, but I give the edge to Pittsburgh, and I'll tell you why. Pittsburgh's offensive line is better equipped to deal with the pass rush. They have the better offense. They have Antonio Brown. They have Ben Roethlisberger. You know, they're just, you know, on paper offensively. And just when you watch them execute this year, they're a better football team. I think that's going to be the difference. Both teams, I think, will get after the quarterback. But you got to give the edge to Big Ben and Pittsburgh. I like them in this game on Sunday. On Sunday, the Los Angeles Chargers host the Arizona Cardinals, who, by the way, they play 30 minutes away from where I live. Very cool thing. I actually did the Cardinals Stadium tour last month with my wife. We actually did it shortly after we got married, just to show you how great of a wife she is and just how crazy about football I am. I said, hey, we just got married. Let's go to a football stadium. But really, really cool stuff. They showed us the whole entire history of the Cardinals. They actually used to play in Chicago way back when. And interestingly, it's the only stadium in the NFL that comes in and that actually moves on wheels. And they showed us that they actually, the grass that they actually use on the stadium field, that they actually pull it in and out of the stadium. So really cool stuff, really innovative. Have not been to certainly every NFL stadium. I've never been to Jerry's World. I think I'm due for a trip there one day. But yeah, definitely cool stuff there. But in this game, Chargers taking on the Cardinals. Look, Bosa is back. That's the key. The Cardinals' offensive line's been one of the worst this year. I've said it before, and damn it, I'll say it again. Josh Rosen, he's just one of those quarterbacks that when he starts to get hit, he senses pressure. He can hold on to the ball for too long, but if you give him time, he can end up being the best of all the rookie quarterbacks. Why? Because he has the best in-game intelligence, and I thought that was clearly demonstrated on the college level. But same thing. When he's not protected, he's just not a good quarterback. He's not mobile. He holds on to the ball too long. And he's just not experienced enough to make enough adjustments to offset that. So I gotta like Los Angeles in this one. They're gonna do the better job of getting after the quarterback. Phillip Rivers is the more experienced guy. And look, David Johnson's a hell of a running back. But you know, Melvin Gordon, you know, if he hasn't proven this year that he's not one of the elite backs in the NFL, I don't know what else he has to do. But realistically, the Chargers, you know, they're going to win this game in the line of scrimmage in the trenches on both sides of the football. The Chargers have a hell of a secondary with Derwin James, Desmond King, Casey Hayward having another dominant year. You look on Pro Football Focus, which I do refer to sometime. Casey Hayward, statistically, he's really been the best cornerback of the last couple years. So good stuff. I think the Chargers, despite losing to the Broncos, they're still going to be a team that could make a deep playoff run, even in that AFC conference. Next up, we got the Miami Dolphins traveling to Indy to take on the Colts. I think the narrative of this game is that Ryan Tannehill is coming back, and he is fighting for his professional career at this point because Ryan Tannehill, you look at him over the years, he's never been able to put together a full season where it's like, wow, that was a really great season. Now, I've seen him play well at times. I certainly have. Do I think if he had stayed healthy his whole career, would he have been a better quarterback? Absolutely. I think he has it in him, but you know, he's lost developmental time. He's been injured. He's never been able to put it together for a full season. So you look at his situation right now. Miami might be very close to moving on, but if he can come back and have a dominant and not a dominant stretch, but a stretch of winning games to finish the season and stay healthy, that can go a long way. Both defenses have similarities. I think against both defenses, the Colts and the Dolphins, you probably want to avoid throwing over the middle as much. Why? The Colts have Darius Leonard and Malik Hooker. Darius Leonard, a rookie middle linebacker. Malik Hooker in his second year of safety. Two of the best defensive players in their draft class these last 2 years. You look at Miami, they're very similar. Minkah Fitzpatrick, I said there's about 10 or so guys in this last year's NFL draft, before the draft happened, that no matter what, barring injury, this is going to be a very good player at the next level, and he's one of them. I thought Derwin James was a hair better than him, but Minkah Fitzpatrick does a lot of those same things. He's really a jack-of-all-trades safety. He can play free or strong. You can line him up and press on the outside. He's a hell of a box tackler and a blitzer, so he's really everything, really everything that you want. And over the middle, you got to be careful because Kiko Alonso, he will intercept you. Kiko Alonso, one of the very good and very underrated middle linebackers over the last few years. Ever since I saw him play early on in Buffalo, I was just really impressed with his tenacity, his effort, whistle the whistle in every single play, and just the range that he covers and how good he is in coverage. So, look, both teams have similarities. Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill drafted the same year. Both of them make you not want to throw over the middle. But right now, because of the Colts' offensive line and how good Andrew Luck is playing, I'm going to give the edge to them. So I do like Indy in this game on Sunday. Ryan Tannehill, he's in the fight for his life right now. Two teams whose fan bases absolutely love and adore each other. No, I'm just kidding. But the Vikings are going to be hosting the Packers this Sunday, and evaluating this matchup, I'm going to give the edge to Minnesota. This is certainly a game that I could see going either way. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been talked about as much this year, but he's been good as always and not turning over and playing mistake-free football. I think the play design and the game management has been off a little bit. You look at Kirk Cousins the other week. Issues he had is he had timing issues with his receivers, and he was just holding on to the ball too long. If Kirk Cousins can get the ball out of his hand quickly this week, be a little bit more decisive, they can get Dalvin Cook going. Because look, Dalvin Cook, if they can get him going, he's something else to deal with. He's got tremendous speed out of the backfield, just incredible acceleration if you watched him play in college. So, look, I give the edge to Minnesota. I think they're going to get Dalvin Cook going. Kirk Cousins, you know, he hasn't played great all year, but there's been a number of games this year that he's just looked really on and really in sync with those receivers. So I think they'll get back in sync this week. And I think just because of Minnesota having the better receivers, the better running back, I'll give the edge to them. They have the better talent on defense. The question is for Minnesota, does it always demonstrate that way? Does it always show itself that way in the field? We'll see on Sunday. And finishing things off with Monday Night Football, Titans taking on the Texans. Story of the Tennessee Titans this year. Jeffrey Fuller, if you're listening, I know you mentioned this the other week, but they've been highly inconsistent this year. You really just don't know which brand of Titans football you're going to get. Sounded like Forrest Gump saying that. But realistically, you know, I think that's the case. I mean, they just, you know, most weeks they don't get their running game going. A lot of times Marcus Mariota has not been healthy this year. They've shown they can get after the quarterback, but they've also shown they can't do it on a consistent basis. So it's going to be, again, which brand of Titans football do we see? You look at Houston, they've been highly consistent. I talked about it a few weeks ago. Deshaun Watson is a hell of a quarterback outside the pocket, throwing the football. But what have I seen him do inside the pocket as well when I've watched? Keeps his eyes downfield. Keeps his eyes downfield even when he is facing pressure. He has a good feel for when pressure is coming. Knows when to escape. And, you know, look, he's not just a running quarterback. He had a great rookie campaign before he got hurt. Slow start to this season, but he's really turned things around and shown you why he is a franchise quarterback. A lot of good things he can do. I do give the edge to Houston. I think Deshaun Watson will face less pressure Deshaun Watson will face less pressure from the Tennessee Titans than Marcus Mariota is going to face from J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans. Plus, the Texans have two good young safeties at the top. I like them in this matchup on Sunday. And again, for Tennessee, they have to get after the quarterback, and they have to get a run game going. That run game has really overpromised and underdelivered this year. We'll see what happens on Sunday, but I'm betting on the team that's been more consistent, the Houston Texans. And that's all, folks. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining me. If you enjoyed this podcast, go ahead in the Apple iTunes store, give us a rating. We'd love to hear from you. And again, if you are interested in being a volunteer writer, send a 2-3 paragraph article to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Tips, make sure whatever you write, doesn't have to be a lot of words, just make sure it packs a punch. And if you make points, make sure they're well supported. Again, I appreciate y'all. I'm out.